reading at we just read the Machlokas, right, of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Ami. Okay, and we were about to start discussing what exactly is the Shita of the Manda Omar says that Af B'Shem B'Chaseim Shavos Nami Machlokas. Now, one of the observations that I made last week, maybe repeatedly, is that you have to decide whether you're looking for one key that opens both doors or two separate keys. In other words, you have a machlokas by Birchoseim Shavos, you have a machlokas by Ein Birchoseim Shavos, and you have to decide whether your explanation as to why they're arguing, why there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether that explanation applies both in both cases across the board or applies bedafka or it only applies in one case and you need another explanation for the second case. Now, in effect, the Rashba actually opens up. You know, one could read this in the Rashba, but I'm going to say it mostly outside now. And if we have a chance to read the Rashba at some point, you know, before we move on from the sugya, we'll read it in Shir. Otherwise, hopefully, you'll read it yourself. The Rashba happens to be in Dibur Maschil El Laman. It would be on Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. Basically, if you want to explain that, the simplest way to explain, and it's really more by means of inertia, to explain the Machlokas is to say, well, look, Ula said there was a Machlokas by Birchoseim Shavos only. What was the Nekudas HaMachlokas according to Ula? Well, what was the explanation of the machlokas according to Ula? Anybody? Somebody? So Min Sheva versus Chaviv. And why? And what was that was the machlokas. But what underlies the machlokas? So what creates the machlokas? And actually, the fact that you're drawing a blank indicates that you're bothered by the Gemara's question when it says Bishlama Lamanda Amar Kishim Bechoseim Shavos Machlokas. We understand why is that Bishlama, and some of the Rishonim do take that as a serious question. In other words, why does the Gemara think it's so pasha to explain the Machlokas Dafka when Bechoseim Shavos? But what is the explanation that most of them offer? Right. In other words, when you only have one bracha and you got one bullet in your gun, you got to use it well. So if you have one bracha that you can make, and that's the only, and you can only make it once, then you got to figure out which one am I going to make it on. If you have two foods, and you're going to make a bracha on each of them, what difference does it make that you make one bracha before the other? Who cares? If you have to make both brachas anyway, regardless of the order in which you make it, assuming one can't pot to the other, so who cares? Who cares what order you make it, and why does it matter so much?
That's the luck, right?
No, that's everybody. Pretty much everybody. No. You might say, yes, the way I said it is the Rush. And other Rishonim say, and the Rush makes actually the most sense, I think. But most of the Rishonim seem to say them, Chaviv is Adif. And everybody agrees Chaviv is Adif. I happen to like the Rush's explanation. It fits more smoothly. You're right. The other Rishonim would have to say, in other words, the way the other Rishonim say doesn't make a whole lot of sense in this regard, because once the Chachamim insist that Chaviv Adif, and it's not just ace emim shiurts, it's not just whatever you want, but it's mamish that chaviv is adifas. Why should chaviv be adif if you have two separate, meaning you have to make two separate brachas? Why should chaviv be any more adif for the chachamim than min shiva should be for Rabbi Yehuda? Whereas if you say like the Rush, I assume everybody's aware, there's a machlokas, the Rush, and as far as I can see on the other side, the Rashba says explicitly Rabbeinu Yona, and at least one other Rishon, I think. Who say that kishein birchoseim shavas according to Ula, chaviv adif. Now the riff seems to write beferish not that way. He says al eiza sheyirtza yivarech, and the Rush follows in that line, and that is much more mistabra. Rabbeinu Yona surprisingly doesn't. I would have thought he would have read the riff differently, but okay. So that's right. That's a question of whether or not everybody reads it that way. Only in the Rush is it clear that he means to separate between Chaviv Ezem and Sheyirtzeh. For the other Rishonim, in Rabbeinu Yonah, it's possible to say that maybe Chaviv is Ezer Shiirtze. The problem then is, then what you have to say basically, that would be simpler in the following sense. Whatever you want right now is by definition the Chaviv, and that's the one you're supposed to make first. But then that means going back to Ula, when Ula said, inserted Chaviv for the Mishnah's Ezem Ahim Shiirtze, he really was just substituting alternative language, but it meant the same thing. It's Ezem Ahim Shiirtze. It's not as, in which case it's almost as if there's no machlokas between the Rashi and the Rishonim. It's a difference in terminology, not a difference in din. There's the Rashi saying it's whatever you want. The other Rishonim are saying it's whatever you want. But they call it Chaviv, he calls it Ezem Shiirtze. I mean, there would be an Afkamina in terms of how you read Ula, but not an Afkamina by Imber Chasem Shabbos. Okay. Fine. Now, so now we understand why Bishlama Lamanda Amar Birchos Kishibirchos Machlokas Kishibirchos Sem Shavos. We understand why Bishlama. Now, but the Gemara says, what if you hold that the Machlokas is Nami by Ein Birchos Sem Shavos? What then are they arguing about? So the Gemara gives an answer. It says Lahakdin. Now, what was the Gemara's question? So one could say the following. I'll present the Tutzdadim and the Rashba. One possibility is, I'm going to give you the one that most Rishonim I think are going to read because it's simpler. You have fewer ideas to juggle in your head. Is that the Gemara is assuming that, of course, let's pick a mandamar. We don't know who it is, right? Let's say it's Rabbi Yitzchak who said that the machlokas is across the board. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, what is the machlokas by Birchoseim Shavos? We have to figure out by Birchoseim Shavos and Birchoseim Shavos. So by Birchoseim Shavos, we'll say it's the same thing as the machlokas Ula, namely that you're only going to make one bracha, which should get the bracha. But now the Gemara wants to know what is the machlokas by Ein Birchoseim Shavos, since we know why they argue according to Rabbi Yitzchak, let's say by Birchoseim Shavos, just like Ula. But why by Ein Birchoseim Shavos would they argue? And the answer is, because after all, what difference does it make which one you make first? Does lahakdim really matter if you're going to make two brachos? And the answer is, yes. The Gemara's question was, in effect, by my pligi,
they assumed that the machlokas
was lahakdim. Well, the only thing they could envision was it being lahakdim, and the Gemara, and they say that's going to be machlokas, and the Gemara says, yeah, lahakdim. Why not? I agree. There, it's a machlokas of which one you're going to make the brach on. Here, it's just a machlokas lahakdim. The Gemara didn't think it was possible. The Gemara's question, it thought it wasn't conceived. It couldn't conceive of the fact that the machlokas lahakdim. Who cares? Once you're making two brachos, what difference does it make? And one doesn't pot to the other, right? So you can make it in either order. What difference does it make which one you make first? And the answer is no. Still, they felt that Rabbi Huda felt like still there's an in yeshivas aminim lahakdim. Okay, Ben Smith. Okay. Now the Rashba presents another tzad, which I like his question, but I don't like the answer, how he reads the answer. And the Rashba says, no, you know what? Actually, if you go back and read the Braisa, Kipshuto, that when you make a bracha on the tznon according to the Chachamim, you pater the zayis, why? Because Beruch Alperos Ha'ilan Borei Pri Ha'adama Yotza, and even though you're not making the bracha on the Zayis of Borei Pri Ha'adama, doesn't matter. You're making a bracha on the Tznon, which is Lachat Chila, it's Ha'adama, and that Ha'adama patters everything there. That's the Pshutan Shel Braisa. Now, if you say, and what does Rabbi Yehuda say according to the Braisa? What does Rabbi Yehuda say in the Braisa before they, overhauled it? What? Mevorach al Hazayis. Right now, we didn't know whether it was purely an issue of Kedimas min Shiva, or maybe also he held that you have to make the bracha on the Zayis, because if you make the bracha on the Tznon, you won't be able to make the bracha on the Zayis. And even if you say that maybe he holds that you could still make the bracha on the Zayis after the Tznon, still to say, to borrow the Ritva's Svara, maybe we don't like the idea. Maybe, Allah Bahag, that we prefer you make the Ha'ith before the Adama, because it looks like a bracha Shein Etzricha. It looks like a bracha Vatala if you make Adama and then you make Ha'ith after it. I don't know exactly where Rabbi Yehuda comes out. Just one second. I don't know exactly where Rabbi Yehuda comes out. Now when you look at, if you want to understand what the machlokas might be about, before, and then we'll explain the Gemara's question, you want to know what the machlokas, when we say the machlokas is across the board, so basically, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you're always supposed to make a bracha on the min shiva. The Chachamim hold that you're supposed to make a bracha on the chaviv, and if you end up making, the chaviv happens to be ha'adama, and you end up pottering the shiva samin, and you don't make a bracha on it, so be it. So be it. That's just the way the chips fall. And Rabbi Yehuda wants to avoid your pottering the bracha on the shiva saminim, or he wants to avoid the appearance of bracha shantzricha, or he wants to say that you got to make the bracha first on shiva saminim always. Now, so the Rashba says as follows. What was the Gemara's question? The Gemara wanted to know, but my plea, it doesn't spell it out. It wanted to know, is there a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Ami? And does Rabbi Yitzchak, again, I'm making him up, I don't know which one is which, does he actually hold kipshuto shel braisa? And he holds that the Chachamim Shita, across the Chachamim Shita is that you always make on the Chaviv, and if it's a Hadamah is the Chaviv, you patet ha'etz. And Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that you've got to make it on the Ha'etz first. Why? Either because you won't be able to make the Bracha on the Ha'etz, or because you don't want the appearance of Bracha Levatala. Is that the Machlokes Hatanaim? Or no? Could it be that everybody would agree that your Hadama can't Pater Ha'etz, and everybody would agree that you have to be Mitaretz the Braisa the way we did earlier. And what's the Machlokes about? Lahaktim. And the Gemara's answer is yes, the machlokas is on the haktim, that everybody agrees that you make both brachos no matter what order you do it in. And the only machlokas is there a kepedon kedima even when it's not the same bracha? Chaim and Shalom.
Is there any logic behind saying that this is the, I mean, behind this quote unquote pshuto shalom braisa? In other words, to say that.
Yes!
How can you say that by making a hadamah? I mean, like, what would be the idea behind saying that if you make a hadamah on a radish, that you potter the apple?
Because the Mishnah says Berech HaPeres HaIlam Bari Pri Adama Yata. That's why. And the Mishnah doesn't say Beferish whether or not you're dealing with too many, you make Adama in front of you and then you potter the Eitz, or you make a Dafka on the Eitz. So you have to, again, you got to remember, you're trapped in your own assumptions of the way we paskin. But when you look at the Rishonim as they confront this Sugya, and they confront Ula as the first one to come along and articulate the principle that you take for granted. And that's why the Rishonim, like, it's funny that Rashi, after seeing Ula Shita, Rashi says, what do you do with the Mishnah? And he gives the Teretz. The Teretz is that the Mishnah is when you make Hadama on the Eitz. But again, you have to put yourself in the pre-Ula mindset, where the Mishnah, at the very least, is ambiguous. And so it could very well be that the Amora who disagrees with Ula, in fact, is saying, no, I'm not going to read with that Ukimta in the Mishnah to say it's Dafka when you make it only on it, but if only on the Zayas, but if you made it on the radish, that wouldn't pata the Zayas. So Rabbi Yitzchak Rami would say no. That's a definite possibility. And that's the pshat in the Braisa. Without mangling the Braisa, the pshat in the Braisa is Berech HaLetzdon, Pater Es HaZayis. If you want, by the way, I wasn't going to say this now, but now you've sort of raised the issue of the Rashba. There are a lot of fascinating Rashbas. I mean, the Rishonim are really interested in this, but the Rashba is really, really a lot of sharp hours. So the Rashba wants to understand the pshat and the braisa at a certain stage. And the Rashba, it's Dibor Maskel, I think, Meisvei. The Rashba says, the second teretz he gives is sort of the way, is what I just said to you. In other words, the way the braisa would be read is that Berech HaPeres HaIlam Bari Pri Adama Yata. And that's even if you make a bracha on the tznon, you still pot the zayis. His first teretz, and that obviously means it only goes in one direction, because if Berech HaZayis, you wouldn't pot the tznon. But his first teretz he gave actually is that when the Chachamim would hold, assuming it's Chachamim, whenever you have a Chaviv, that's by definition called the Ikar, and everything else is Tafel to it. Even though in Metzias it's not Tafel. And if you have a I don't call it a menagerie, you have a collection of meaning here, and you make a bracha, and you, one of them is the one that you're most, it's chaviv to you, that's the ikar, everything else is the tafel. It's a very, very interesting way, in which case, even if you end the bracha on the zayis, you would have pathed the tznon. It's a very, very interesting way of looking at the braisa. Again, it's not the classic ikar v'tafel. It's claiming, in a sense, it's claiming the machlokas from Yehuda and the chachamim about chaviv versus bin shiva as a machlokas of ikar and tafel, which is a very, very interesting way of looking at it. I'm sorry, of what is the Ikar? In other words, but both assume that when you have a collection of things there's an Ikar and a Tafel. Now, that's a big Chiddush. we're used to thinking right now of Iker and Tafel as like Pas and Maliach, or Pas and Dover and Lefes. Well, I should say Lefes if you want to make it. Pas and Maliach, or Lefes and Pas. But that's what we used to think of Iker and Tafel, where it's Mamish the Tafel, where one is really subsumed the other. Here, I have an apple, and I don't mean because it's a separate Chefza. I mean, I want apples, I want pears, I want grapes, I want olives. And to think that one of them means the most to me, that's the Iker, the rest is the Tafel. So I would each would Pater Adam, or Adam would Pater Eitz. That's wild. Yeah, I mean, he rejects, ultimately he prefers the second choice, but even that, remember, says that Hadamah, not Midinik of a Tafel, but just because Hadamah is a bracha, koleles with respect to Eitz. Yeah.
So according to Rashba's understanding of this question, it's not a rhetorical question. I mean, he's really asking, by my plegi?
I think that, well...
I mean, Tosafot seems to understand this as being rhetorical. I mean, what could they be arguing about? You know, it seems like there's nothing for them. According to Tosafot, at least, there's nothing for them to argue about.
No. I think that even for Tosafot, it's not a rhetorical question. As the Gemara didn't understand, I mean, it's a little less pointed than the Rashba's, second approach. Tosafot says the Gemara couldn't figure out, once you're making two brachos, why is one adif over the other? How could they argue?
Yeah.
You know, that's the Rashba second.
Yeah.
Right, whereas Tosas is not saying that. Tosas wants to know what, I mean, according to the Rashba, you don't really know what the answer is, or you don't know what the question was. Whereas for Tosas, no. Tosas' question seriously is, what would the machlokas be about? And the answer is, no, lahaktim. In other words, it wasn't, Tosas doesn't say it the way the Rashba is, that the Gemara says, could the machlokas possibly be lahaktim? And the answer is yes. Tosas says, once you're making both brachos, what's the machlokas about? The answer is, there's still an ocean hakdama. Yeah, I don't think they come out in a different place fundamentally. I mean, it's fundamentally, I think, still comes the same thing. What are, which I'm not going to explore, and it could be very important, but I'm not sure it is why does Tosfos think the Kasha is only according to Rabbi Yehuda? This is my time in the Rabbi Yehuda. If the Rabbanon hold that Chaviv Adif means Mamish Chaviv Adif, like Rabbi Yehuda holds Min Shiva Adif, why is it only Machlokas Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda? Why is it only a Shaila Quentin? Tosfos is Klomer, my time in the Rabbi Yehuda. Why not my time in the Chachamim? The answer might be that the Chachamim hold, again, like the Rush, the way the Rush says it's Eish Shmirtzeh. In other words, Chaviv doesn't really mean Chaviv. Chaviv means whichever you want right now. That becomes by definition. Because if Chaviv is the way what the Rush rejects, that Chaviv, that which is universally Chaviv to you, as opposed to that what happens to be Chaviv to you now, then why is the Gemara's question a question by my plea, only according to Rebbe Yehuda should be a question according to Chacham also? Okay. Anyway, but put that issue aside. So now I want to go one step. Ari, you look confused at that last point.
No.
Shalom, sorry, you had a question.
Based on that second way, the way the Rashba presents Machloket, we came up with a third possibility also.
Okay, well.
So when you read the Brayta, there's two ways to that be Machloket and Chachamim where you have to focus. It could either be, Snon design, Yuvarech al Snon, or it could be Putera design. Where is the machloket happening? So if you're going to say that it's which one you're making the bracha on, so then that's the same question that the Rashba just asked about. That meaning that Rehuda would agree that the bracha on the stone would be put to the zayit, and therefore you have to make the stone to the zayit first.
Okay.
That's the other way would be no. You could say he's arguing only on puter to zayit, that he would agree that in all cases that an adama is puter in eight, except for min shiva, it somehow wouldn't allow it to be put to eight. You still have to make the bracha.
But you can't say that he only argues in the poter tzayis part because he says mevarich al
hazayis. Right, meaning the poter tzayis, they know mevarich al hazayis.
You mean after you made the bracha?
No, you're saying daka means.
Oh, I hear. Right. Okay.
That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah is coming to say. What the machloket? Rabbi Yirmiyah says, oh, it's on a question of lahakti, meaning it's not that it wouldn't be poter tzayis, but so therefore that has to come first, and that's also called hakdama. It's between those two.
Fine. So okay. So I hear that. I want to throw a third possibility in.
I was
in.
Wondering whether Tosfot might have addressed that when he talked about Hakdama in the
first Tosfos.
Yeah.
No, because in the first Tosfos works with an assumption. I think Tosfos works throughout with an assumption that in the Maskana that everybody rereads the Braisa.
Because he talks about Kadima and Hakdama.
Yep.
Somehow.
I think they're the same thing.
Right, so at first I said to myself, oh, maybe he's making a distinction between whether one has to come first.
I think that the Tosfos throughout reads works with an... No, I think the Rishonim, except for this Rashba, want to avoid the real possibility that it's known as Poter Esazai. They want to avoid that. They all want to be settled into comfortable Chaim land, you know, where there's no such notion as, you know, Ha'adam Apater Eitz when you make the bracha on this. So they want to make it disappear. I don't want to make it disappear because I've read too much Yerushalmi with you, right? And so that idea just keeps coming up and up over and over again in the Yerushalmi. And therefore, if I can see it here, I want to see it here. And the Rashba already recognized that possibility. But I want to go a step further than the Rashba. See, the Rashba presented, again, two possible ways of reading the Gemara. B'mai Kabbapalgi, do they possibly, are they arguing just about Hakdama? And the Gemara's answer is yes. Second possibility is, are they arguing about Hakdama? Or does this Mandamar hold that it's a much broader Machalokas, the Machalokas, whether it's known as Poter es Hazayis? And the answer is they're arguing about Hakdama. I just want to go a step further, and Shalom, this is similar to what you guys were saying, which is that the Gemara's answer is, Lahakdim, is they're arguing about which one has to go first, but the Gemara doesn't say why. And the reason they're arguing about that is because the Chachamim, minimally, the Chachamim, there are two ways of explaining this Machlokes. Number one is that the Chachamim hold Eze Sheyirtze Yakdim, where you can put whichever one you want first. And if you happens to be Ho'adama, it's going to pater, if you happens to be the stone, you're going to pater the Zayas, and so be it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not going to pater the Zayas. Let me say it that way. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you still have to make a bracha on the Shivas Haminim first, because he wants a bracha made on the Shivas Haminim. It's not exactly what you're saying. And therefore, if you were to make the Ho'adama first, you would not be able to make a bracha on the Shivas Haminim anymore. Okay? Alternatively, one could say, the Rabbi Yehuda is arguing two components. Number one, he might say, I'll say it even your way. Rabbi Yehuda, lahakdim won't work once you say lahakdim. You're going to have to say, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to make the bracha on the Zayas first, and he might hold that even if you did make the bracha on the stone first, it's still one pot to the Zayas. I know what Rabbi Yehuda wants you to do. He wants you to make the bracha on the Zayas. I don't know what he would say if you made the bracha on the tzedon. And the Chachamim say no. The Chachamim say you mach them whichever you want, and if the bracha happens to come out on the tzedon, it's going to pater the Zayas, and that's just the way it is. Lahakdim doesn't mean, maskana sagamara, that you're making two brachas, which do you make first. Lahakdim means which food goes first, and are you concerned with how the chips fall out? And the Chachamim say, we don't care. Let the chips fall where they may. And this man Dharma says, according to Chacham, Berech HaTznon, Poter Es Hazayis. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, we don't know exactly where Yehuda's position is. We know l'chatchinah he wants you to make a bracha on the Zayis first. It could be he would agree if you made a bracha on the Tznon first that it paters the Zayis. It could be he would hold it doesn't pater the Zayis. And on the flip side, it could be he wants you to make a bracha on the Zayis first because it's Min Shiva. Or certainly he wants to make a bracha on the Zayis first because otherwise you won't be able to make a bracha on the Zayis. But it could be even Lamaskanas HaGemara that you have a man dama here who holds that Berech HaTznon Pater Sazayis. The beauty in this approach, Lamaskanas HaGemara, is what? Not because I want to find such a shita. That doesn't make it beautiful. Okay? That's delusional. Why is that beautiful? It works out with the Braisa. And even in terms of the shock of the tire of the Gemara, you know, the Gemara never, again, here it may just be a function of the fact that the Gemara asked on Ula and it's not rehashing it. But the truth is that it does explain well the Braisa on its own terms and why the Gemara doesn't have to reinvoke that here. Okay, Shalom?
The reason that we like the interpretation that one of the possibilities is that we are saying that you can still make the Brech on the Zayit even after is that then it's really a question when the Gemara asks, well, Mike Kapagi, and the answer is that the Hakdim.
So the question you're really asking, but what you're saying is the question Michael Apalgi really boils down to what is Rabbi Yehuda Shita?
Right.
Ironically, like Tosfos, but Tosfos is working with a completely different approach.
Right.
Yeah, I understood when you said that. So which angle within Rabbi Yehuda is? So you think that the answer Lahakdim is only within Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda, you think the Gemara's terrace is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you make both brachos and it's only a shiloh which one comes first. I hear, that might be even a better read.
The problem with the Rashba is that then for him, both of them are Lahakdim. It's just a question of what it means.
Well, which you mocked him.
Right.
Okay, but that's how all the Rishonim read. That's not inherently it's not a crazy read. You understand what changed from the question to the answer.
Exactly.
Right.
It doesn't really help.
Okay, fair enough. That's very good. That's very good. I would repeat that at the risk of losing everybody else, but I'll repeat it anyway, okay? And if you, I lose you, just don't feel bad. I couldn't decide, as I said that, I said whether I was going to do it or not, but I'll do it, okay? Shalom Eyal is suggesting that the question, B'maika B'palgi, it's clear what the Chachamim hold. The Chachamim hold, at this stage, Kipshutan Shavraisa, that you make a bracha on the tzedon, you pater the zayis, and if the tzedon is the one you want to eat first, that's the one you make the bracha on. Okay, it's not lahakdim within the Chachamim, because you're only making one bracha. However, for Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara was really asking for Rabbi Yehuda, what is Rabbi Yehuda's shita? If you're going to read the Braisa Kipshuto, where you have a tzedon and a zayis, and Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim argue there also, that's Kishain Berchoseim Shabbos. That's the tailor-made case on the Braisa. What is Rabbi Yehuda's shita? When Rabbi Yehuda says you make a bracha on the zayis first, is that simply because of an issue of kedima? Or does Rabbi Yehuda hold that if you make the bracha on the tzedon first, you won't be able to make the bracha on the zayis like the Chachamim? That's why he wants you to make a bracha on the zayis. In other words, is it a question of simply being makdim the zayis, but you would make a bracha on both no matter what? Or is Rabbi Yehuda hold you must do the zayis because otherwise you won't get to do it if you do the tzedon first? And the Gemara's answer is, in other words, is Rabbi Yehuda shita simply the tzedon, the zayis, it's a mitzvah lahakdim, but you make both brachas either way? Or no? Is if you make the bracha on the tzedon first, you won't make another bracha, there's no kedima anymore, you've patered it. And the Gemara's answer is lahakdim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you make a bracha on the tzedon, you don't pater the zayis. For whatever the reasons, either because it's shivas aminim or because it's Dafka Shivas Aminim or any Ha'et. But bottom line is Rabbi Yehuda holds you make both brachos, even if you make the bracha on the stone first. But he holds L'chatchila you're supposed to make it on the Zayis first. That might be the best reading of the Gemara. Chaim?
Would the Rabbana be going against the pshat of the Braisa?
Oh, well, just one comment. And that may, there may be somebody who says that. Is it the Shagas Aryeh? Do you remember?
The Raim,
whoever that is. No, but somebody he quotes back there says that Maskanas. Who? Somebody says? One second, Chaim. I'm sorry.
He just quotes as saying that Rabbi Yehuda
only holds
shot. He never holds Braisa.
One second.
The sign.
Where was that line? At the top of 1 second. Oh, so he works with, he thinks that the tzad is the other, who that would hold that it would, okay. It would potter the zayis if you made it first, and that's why he said. But it's irrelevant. It's immaterial because you have to make the bracha on the min shiva first. It's almost like
that. I was saying something a little different, though. I was actually saying that the reason that Rabbi Yehuda in the second, in the one way to read it is that right, that it wouldn't matter which order you made, you'd still make the bracha on both, and that's the machloket. Meaning that when you say that the machloket after shein berachah came shavuot, it's that you would make a bracha on the zayis even if it came after the shiva.
Right.
And but there's no question about Dhamma there. That's the machloket totally. It's not
right.
And then the question, and then the other one where the review would hold that if the zayit came after, you wouldn't make a bracha on it. There he's saying that's where you have a mitzvah, you must do it because you have to make the bracha on it. And that's the answer of Rabbi Yirmiyah is that's the answer in the end of what he holds or you could hold.
That's different than what you said.
No, that's what I was saying before.
Oh, okay. No. So I was saying something a little different. I'm saying okay. Chaim, your question.
Would the Rabbanan be going against the pshat of the Braisa?
Rabbanan, which Rabbanan?
The Rabbanan of the Mishnah. In other words, if we say that by pottering, that by making a hadama on a tzedon, you would be pottering, you would not have to make a bracha on a zayis. You would not have to make a zayis on a zayis. And the Rabbanan, by saying that you can make on mezen shi'irtza, would that be, are they just saying that they don't care, if they don't care about that fact, or they would say that they believe that you would be chayav to make the bracha on the zayis anyways?
No, I think they could be saying that that doesn't bother them. In the same way, look, think about it. Is there an inyan in, if you're going to eat a meal, and you're interested in the meal, you're going to have a potato kugel, so that's hadama. And you're going to have a cranberry crunch, and that's, let's say, ha'etz. And you're going to have a drink of water. And let's say you hold, like, I think Rover Rishonim, that you, that you know, that you, like, or no, you don't make a bracha in the middle meal on that, and that would be a shakel. Would anybody say that there's an inyan in before you wash and eat bread, that you should eat a little cranberry crunch with ha'etz, and you should eat a little potato kol with ha'adama, and you should have a drink of water with a shahakol, and then wash and make hamotzi, and brachas hamazon obviously to pater thing. The answer is, of course not. So in the same way, when you're having a fruit meal, or a pre-meal, so maybe you could just say, you make ha'adama, and you pater everything. In other words, if you have ha'etz, you're not supposed to l'chatchila make a bori pri adama on an apple, you know, b'dieved yotze, but if you have an apple and a banana, you can make a bori pri adama with a banana, and that covers everything. Right. And again, it's foreign to our way of thinking because that's not what we hold. But not necessarily foreign to the way the Mishnah can be read. Okay. Yeah. So that's really what the choice of reading this Gemara boils down to. What was the Gemara's question about my plea? What possibilities were they entertaining for the Shita in terms of the Machlokas B'she'ein Birchoseihem Shavos? Was it fundamentally a Machlokas, in some ways a Machlokas that transcended both halves of the Mishnah or both halves of the possibilities? And what effect does it have on the Brisa that came earlier? Do you have to reread the Brisa, even according to this Manda Amar? Because, in effect, the Rashba's preferred choice, and what most Rishonim say, is they're Mimayit B'Machlokas, they're Osa Shalom. Right? Because basically, they all agree on what the din is by Birchoseihem Shavos as a matter of principle and practice. The two Lashon, two Amorim, not this Machlokas Tanaim, obviously, but the two Amorim. And all they're arguing on, it's very powerful Machlokas. The only Machlokas is when you have an apple and a banana, is it better to make the Ha'etz before you make the Ha'adama, or does it not really matter? Either way, if you make the Ha'adama first, you're going to make Ha'etz afterwards. Obviously, if you make Ha'etz first, you certainly make Ha'adama afterwards. Is there an Indian lahaktim? And so we say, yeah, that's, you know. So Ula says that there's no machlokas whatsoever. Everybody agrees. You do whichever one you want. Apple, bananas, banana, apple. That's okay. And what? And according to the second mandam, b'she'ein b'chashem se'en shavos da machlokas. So according to him, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's better to make the bracha on the apple first. But of course, if you made it on the banana first, you'd still make a bracha on the apple. It's a very, very minimal parv machlokas, Shalom. It's parv because it's not ma'akev. It doesn't cost you brachas. So, you know, it's not like, yeah, Shalom.
Do we also not care about the meaning of that opinion? Meaning of it only zayit versus banana, or even apple versus banana?
And even zayit versus banana. Yeah, I'm sorry. Right, you know, I go even further. You're right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he may not even care by its apple versus banana. All he cares about is ice versus banana. Yeah, it's like a narrow, narrow machlokas. Ari?
So this approach where the machlokas is about kedima, it just ignores the brisa.
Correct. You're going to have to do the same thing to the brisa. You're going to have to chasuri mechasur it the same way the Gemara did for Ula. If you take the Rashba and really almost all the Rishonim's approach, which you take what is that approach I mentioned of the Re'im, and whatever flavor you take that in, where you see that the Machlokas, according to Bandam Abishem Birchoseihem Shavos, boils down to once you make Ha'adama, can you still make Ha'etz afterwards? And in accordance with all those things we saw in the Yerushalmi, then you don't have to reread the Brice anymore. Then the Brice is Kipshuta. In fact,
they both agree that.
We don't know what Rabbi Yehuda really says. We don't know. He says mevarech al azayis. That's all he says. We don't know if that means shalom. They said, well, as you could read that as you make a bracha on the zayis, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to make. Because if you make the bracha on the tzon, you won't make the bracha on the zayis the way you're saying. Or it could be that the Tanakhama said mevarech al tzon upotemes azayis, and Rabbi Yehuda says mevarech al azayis nami. After you make the bracha on the tzon, you make a bracha on the zayis. Still. I tend not to think that way. I tend to think that. Even though conceptually I believe Rabbi Yehuda could still hold that tznon doesn't pater the zayis if you made the bracha, I don't think that's what he's saying. I mean, I think mevarech al tznon. Mevarech al zayis simply means you make the bracha first on zayis. And then obviously make a bracha on the tznon. What would be the din if you made a bracha on the tznon? I don't know, according to Rabbi Yehuda. I prefer that reading, but I can't rule out your reading. But I just don't think, Ari, you can tell what Rabbi Yehuda holds in the B'dieved, if you made, you know, and what he even holds the Chatchila by other than Shivas Aminim. And you just can't tell.
According to that impression, at the end of the day, the Maskana is that, no, the Machlokas is about which is
everyone agrees that the Chachamim would say that you would make the bracha on the Hadama first, because
Hadama would... It's Chaviv, you want to do with that, right?
And what we're saying here is that at the end of the day, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, is the Machlokes is only within Rabbi Yehuda.
You mean B'maikom Apalgi, the way they're explaining? Yeah, no, well, not the Machlokes. Oh, I'm sorry. You mean between the Amorai and the Machlokes is within... No, because there's also a machlokas according to the Chachamim. What would they say if you made a bracha on Adama first? Would you part the Zayis? Because Ula rereads the Braisa to avoid that possibility. So according to the Chachamim, in other words, what you make the bracha on first, what you make the first words out of your mouth, you're right, both agree what the Chachamim would say. It would be Ho Adama if that was Chavav to you. But the question is, what would you do next? Ula says, according to the Chachamim, you'd make Eitzam, whatever Paraselan it was, whereas the Rabbi Yitzchak Rami, whichever one it is, would say no. Once you made the bracha on the tznon, you don't make the bracha on the zayis anymore, and certainly on a tapuach. Okay. Now, obviously, lemaisa it matters less because the way we paskin is like gula. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe. Maybe. In other words, we certainly don't paskin like our radical possibility. Right, that we don't paskin like. I think it seems that everybody agrees that regardless of whether you hold like the Bahag or not, the Bahag Shita is. You've all seen it in Tosfos. What is the Bahag Shita? Shalom. No, I don't think he says that. But you should say it on the eights first, right? In other words, the Shita of the Bahag would appear to be, and again, I may be stretching more than the Bahag actually says with the Shahakol, is that the way you're supposed to make brachos is most specific to least specific, but he doesn't say, but not that you would, if you made the more specific one, you would pater the less specific ones, meaning if you make a Shahakol, what?
I think he just leaves it as a question.
Do you think he leaves it as a question, or you just doesn't not address there?
I guess not. We've
only been seeing it quoted.
I understand, but my assumption is, and the way the Bahag is understood, the way he's understood by others, la halacha, is that even if you make a shak on the water first, you still make a bar hadam on the banana, and you still make a ha'etz on the zayis, but l'chatchila, you're supposed to go from most specific to least specific. So the way that shita usually works, leaving out gefen and motzi for the moment, is mizonos, ha'etz, ha'adama, and shahakon. And mizonos, ha'etz are not really on the same track, but they consider, I think, a bracha, which is more chashuv, for whatever reason, maybe because there are fewer foods or something like that. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So when that comes, when you have a more specific one, a more general one that's shivat hamin.
I'm sorry?
Or if you have like an adama that's shivat hamin.
I presume you mean for he who paskins. So the Rishonim are sort of torn on that issue. It interests me less. Conceptually, I guess it's kind of important, but nobody eats this. So, okay, Eyal's asking, what about kosis esachita, where you make ha'adama? Where would we say, would you say, because it's, or you mean because it's earlier in the pasuk?
No, I'm saying because...
Over what? What's the choice between kosis esachita and what? Eight. So he would say, probably you would assume Kosh Sechita comes first, because Shivas Aminim comes first.
And that overrides the...
Probably. I mean...
That's much less of a conflict, because
then Rabbi
Yehuda, there's no
Machlokes. Well, okay, no, but he's just asking, the Bahagu Paskins, like many we've shown, like Rabbi Yehuda, the question is, which is more important, the Shivas Aminim or specificity? My gut tells me he would rather have Shivas Aminim come first. Not to minimize a machlokas, Ari.
Then Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't have to say that the Shivas Aminim outweighs the all-inclusiveness of Adama. He would say, now I have both things going for me. I have.
No, but you want him. But the point is, but he'd rather. Well, I mean, again, if you hold like the Bahag, he'd rather the Ha'itz come before any Adama. On the other hand, he'd rather Shivas, which would be the apple, he'd rather Shivas Aminim come before the Minim, and therefore that would be the Kosis Achita.
The Baha'i is, taken here, it may be taken out of context, because Tosfos says earlier that the only other basis for which we can make this feeling about which rebels come first from the Bar Kapara.
First story.
The Baha'i could have been passing based on that Gemara, not based on this, not based on Rabbi Yehuda here.
Oh, okay. So you're right. I don't. I think I have this recollection that other Rishonim quote the Bahagas Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda as well. I agree with you. The impetus there are one of two. I'll make up a word. Impetai here. Either it's the Bar Kapara story, or it's the way you read the story of Lahaktim at the end. In other words, you could read Lahaktim. Again, it's strange from Rabbi Yehuda because it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is talking about Shiva Saminim, not Paris Ilan. But the Bahag might read the Maskil. The way Tosus thinks. The Maskanas HaGemara may come after the Bahag is that you're supposed to make Ha'etz before Ha'adama. And the only problem with saying that based upon the Maskanas HaGemara is the Maskanas HaGemara is Dafka Shivaminim, not by apples and the Srogim. You know, but perhaps what motivates, the way the Bahag may read the Maskanas HaGemara is that the reason why there's a Machlokas across the board, when Yehuda says that Shivas Aminim are Kodem, he's only referring to the last five of the seven. And the reason why he's saying they're Kodem has nothing to do with there being Shivas Aminim, it has to do with there being Ha'etz. I think that's the way they may understand the Bahag read the Maskan of the Gemara. As the Bahag wants the Paskin like that Shita, Tosa seems to see that the big machlokas for us between the later, you know, Tosa's Paskin is like Rabbi Yehuda, the big machlokas between Ula and the other Shita is whether or not you're supposed to make Ha'etz before Ha'adama when you have Ein Birchoseim Shavos. So in which case you don't even need the Bar Kapara story. Okay. Now, we are going to go on, right? We can go on. All right, who would like to read for me? We're still not done yet. Because now the big issue, the real, really major issue that we have to settle is how do you paskin? How do you paskin, what I mean? How do you paskin? Yehuda or the Chachamim? Okay? And this is, what you're about to see is a bread and butter staple, that's not a redundancy, of the Rishonim in terms of determining Psak Halacha, which is, how did the Amoraim or how did the Stam of the Gemara hold when they're not talking about the issue? In other words, if Rav explains Rabbi Yehuda's position, that is a little bit of a weak proof that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But if Rav does something that only seems explicable on the assumption that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's a pretty good basis for doing so. Okay? So first we get a little interlude, a little bit of almost agadic-like material. Who would like to read, Ben?
Who?
Can you read loudly? You think you can hide sitting there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think I can.
You have a Gemara? I would share your mic around with you, but if you want. Is that a brachas?
No.
Okay. Take my mic. Yeah, come on there? Okay, good. That's called, it was underneath my nose all the time.
Yeah, right.
Amar Yosef, I'm Mem Aleph, I'm an Aleph. Well, I should set them. I said, what did I just say? Did you catch what I said? I said Amar Yosef. But it says De Amar Yosef. Okay, but that's the Machlokas HaRishonim. So you read. So Rabbi Yirmi said Lahakdim De.
De Amar Yosef, Ve'item Rav Yitzhak.
Ari, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but could Rabbi Yirmi likely have been quoting Rabbi Yosef? Or is it the... He moved to Eretz Yisrael. But this Rabbi Yirmiya moved to Eretz Yisrael, right? Would he have known Rabbi Yosef? He could have been quoting, I guess, Rabbi Yosef.
All the people who left Eretz Yisrael, I think their jumping off point was which was where Rabbi Yosef was.
Okay, and the third generation. So they could have quoted Rabbi Yosef. Okay, fine. So I don't know if it's the Gemara putting it together or Rabbi Yirmiya actually quoting. The Amar Rabbi Yosef.
The Amar Rabbi Yosef, Itim Rabbi Yitzchak. Kol ha-muktam pasuk zeh, muktam v'bracha. Shneimar, Eretz kitav sara v'gefen utinav v'rimon, Eretz zeh shemen u'dvash.
Okay. Now, you shouldn't have put the emphasis on Eretz yet.
Sorry.
Okay? You're foreshadowing. All right. So, anything that's muktam in the pasuk, so is muktam l'bracha. Okay. And now the Gemara says something fascinating.
Upliga d'Rabbi Chanan.
Upliga the Rabbi Chanan. Argues on Rabbi Chanan's shita.
Dama Rabbi Chanan. Kol ha-pasuk kulo l'shiyurin ne'mar.
All right. Now, before we go into explaining, how is it? Why must there be a machlokas harishonim here? Rashi explains nicely, I think. Again, within the Gemara's particular framework at the moment, that you take Rabbi Chanan's drasha seriously. So, what is the position of Rabbi Chanan? What's the question that both the Amoraim are asking about the pasuk? And once you understand what the question is, then you understand why, once you give Rabbi Hanan's answer, Rabbi Yosef's answer becomes unmuchrach, non-muchrach. What's the question, Chaim?
What's the significance of the seven fruits?
Right. Why does the Torah, more about why does the Torah have to list these seven fruits? Just say, you've described many things nice about the lamb. Why do you have to single out seven particular kinds of produce? Now, Pshuta Shemikra, of course, is Chaim. I'll allow you to say this as our resident botanist. Go ahead.
That's what grew there.
Okay. Some of you have been here long enough with me know that when I read Jared Diamond's Guns, Germs, and Steel, to me it was sort of like a revelation. Oh, these were the common staple foods of the Fertile Crescent, you know, in ancient times. No wonder why the Torah is Meshabeach, because this is what grew there. Okay. I mean, there were other things that grew, obviously, but in terms of the major foods, and probably earlier on, and maybe that should be another raya to the, something, that, although you have to see what was growing in the 7th century to the antiquity of these psukim. But simply, pshat is the Torah lists those things, just the way it lists, you know, just as I find the maskana, I mean, I don't disagree with him, but I think the whole notion, I shouldn't say, it's a Gemara. The Gemara creates the problems. Why does the Torah, let me say it this way, I'm sorry. The Rabbi Yishmael uses a raya to the divinity of the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a tzayed, so how did he know that these were the only four animals that had one simen? Okay, so here I understand why Nesson Slifkin sort of got forced into a corner. He had to decide to do away with the divinity of the Torah or to assume that Rabbi Yishmael was not correct. And faced with the choice of the two, I tend to find myself in sympathy with Rabbi Slifkin, and I'd rather prefer to adhere to the divinity of the Torah and assume that Rabbi Yishmael was just mistaken, because he said that these were the only four things. So what if you discover an animal in South America? So you have to start draying this way and that way. Oh, but it's only got one simen, but it's really... So the answer is the Torah gave these four examples, the Diberakasa Behova. Even if there had been seven in the vicinity of the Jews at the time, it's possible the Torah only were given four. But certainly since these were probably the only four things that looked like they had one simen, so the Torah listed for them just in case you would make a mistake. Right? It gave you a klal, but it gave you pratim. Okay, so on a Rabbi Yishmael, I understand what motivated him, because it should seemingly be extra. Okay, and the truth is Chazal darshan different things anyway from certain of the words and certain of the details. But bottom line, the pshat simply is that these were the things that were available that the Jews would have known about at the time of Matan Torah that would have looked like they either had or looked like they had one simen, and that's why the Torah specifies them. So in the very same way, the reason why the Torah singles out the Shiva Saminim is because these were the things that, if you wanted to say this is a wonderful land, this is what's wonderful about it. Look at the produce it grows, Ari.
The argument against Rabbi Shmuel then is
very funny. Okay, thank you. I believe, you know, I don't know if it's Rabbi Yishmael, a ton of the Rabbi Yishmael. I think it's probably Rabbi Yishmael who says that. But yes, okay, so he didn't apply his own klal here. Thank you. Of course, you understand, Ari, that distinction is really a construction of the Stam. Right? In other words, that explanation of the machlokes, the double words, you know, I believe is not... and you know, by the way, the Psach Halacha doesn't always follow that, meaning it's split. Most of the time, the Rambam Paskins, the double Lashon, like Rabbi Akiva, but there are certain cases, and it probably just is traced upon the Sugyas, whether Maskanas, where he follows the single Lashon, what would be classic Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, good. Touche. Yes?
A quick question. I mean, I don't really understand. I mean, according to that explanation, Shuto Shamikra, because that's what grew there, I mean, why would the Torah then list that?
Okay. I like that answer. Anyway, the point is that...
It seems like there has to be some sort of reason. Otherwise, it's just okay, that's what grows there. Like, what's all you tell them?
No, people make up songs about their land, right? You know, and everybody knows they grow there, but we sing about it, right? So the Torah praises it because it has these beautiful Shiva Saminim. Yeah. Okay, fine. So you're really convinced of what bothered Rabbi Yosef from Hanan. You understand Lamaskanas Gemara, of course. Your question remains unanswered because Rabbi Hanan's Nasmachta and Rabbi Yosef is only the Rabbanan.
Right.
Right? So, so what does the Gemara say, Ben? Go ahead. Well, so Rabbi Hanan says, Rabbi Yosef says, why else tell us these seven things except for to tell us that when you're confronted with a multiplicity of meaning, which one comes first? And Rabbi Hanan, the answer is simple, because the Torah is Meshabeach Eretz Yisrael with seven things that constitute the basis of Shiurim. Okay, what are the Shiurim? Here you get a very brief tour of Shas. Go ahead, Ben.
All right. Nemar Chita. Ditznam nechnas levayim manuga v'kelav al ktefav v'sandalav v'tabotav v'yadav. Hu v'hein t'meim miyad. Okay, a pras.
And what is this pras that you have to eat? Okay, continue, finish it. Okay, fine. So basically, the din is as follows. The Torah says that someone who enters a bayis hamenugah, he becomes tameh. Okay? But it doesn't say yechabes begadav or vechibes begadav. Someone who enters a bayis hamenugah and eats there, so he has to wash his begadim. So the Mishnah claims, firstly, that when you say has to wash the begadim, the distinction is only if you're wearing them. In other words, kalim that you're not wearing and you bring in are like a person. A person enters, a kli enters, they all become tameh immediately. The requirement for eating is only if, in order to be tameh, something is only if you're wearing the clothing. In addition, Chazal understood that it's not dependent upon whether you eat there. What difference does it make whether you walk through the house quickly and you're eating, or whether you walk through the house and you're not carrying any food? Why should it make a difference? They understand, v'ochal b'bayis means you remain in the house a certain amount of time. And if that's the case, how long? So why say achila? The answer is that gives you a shir. Achila has to be k'day achilas pras. A pras is half a loaf. Now, the question is, but, you know, it depends what you're eating. If you're eating, you know, one kind of food, that might be longer, another kind of food, it's shorter. So the answer is, it has to be a prusa shel chitim. A mesiv ochel b'liftan also makes it go down smoother. That's the shear. So that's why we need to know eretz chita, because chita is the shear. When you have a chatzi pras of a loaf of chitim, then that eating that amount, the amount of time it takes a person to eat that, that's the amount of time you have to be masha, to be Shoah and a Bayis HaManuga, in order for the kalim that you are wearing to become Tameh.
I mean, is it true, as Rashi says, that the reason why it's Chitim is because it eats faster than others? Is that really true?
Chitim makes a denser loaf, than a fluffier loaf. It's probably easier to eat than something that's, you know, really you have to chew through and so on. That'd be my guess. Okay. Fine. Next case, Ben.
Next case. Seora Ditnan.
So that's a din. There are various shear of bones. You learn alos, how much is metame, but the minimum shear for a bone alone to be metame is an etzem kisaora. It's pretty small, by the way. You ever seen what a barley looks like? It may be that the fresh barley is a little bit bigger. I've never seen fresh barley, but the dried barley, at least, is pretty small. I said, have you ever seen raw barley, like fresh?
Yes.
A little bigger?
I never really compared it.
What?
If you go to the supermarket, buy one of those bags, this is barley on it?
Yeah, so it's bigger than that, one of those barley things, because it's because those are dried, so they've shrunk. But
so
anyway.
Oh, naturally they are bigger?
I assume so. I would guess so.
I think so.
I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing so, but who knows? Maybe not.
So which one is this referring to?
I assume it's referring to barley as found in its natural state,
even
which
so,
is moister.
It's
still pretty small, yes. Not very big. You can understand why someone would need to bring a blower with him in the Beis HaPras to make sure there's no etzem kesara that he's going to dislodge. Okay? Because it's pretty small.
Welcome
all
to
right?
Eretz HaTumah.
Continue.
Okay. Gefen, Kedei Revi, Yayin LeNazir.
I'm not touching this one with a 10-foot pole.
Oh.
What does that have to do with Gefen? Revius has nothing to do with Gefen.
Surface tension
is a shear.
Of wine versus water?
Yeah, it's a basic toast. It says surface tension of wine as opposed to surface tension of water. It would be different, and therefore, that's the way you're misha'er a revius. Okay.
Which we've seen come up in the Torah before because of the, in other places, because of the pipes in the Beis HaMikdash. It's basically the same principle.
The thickness, yes, thank you. Okay, fine, go ahead. All right, next, Taina.
Taina.
Typically, when you take out human food on Shabbos, you, in order to be chayiv, normally you need a shear. It has to have a shear. And less than a shear, you're pater avalasar. So te'ena, the normal shear, is grogeres. Rimon,
kiditznan. Kol kli balabatim, shi'urin kirimonim.
Shi'uran kirimonim. Okay, that's, by the way, a very important... we've come across that sequence in Mishnayos before. Earlier this year, I don't remember where. It's worth reading the 17th parak of Kalim. I know it's a strange thing for me to say to you, but when you have a chance, go read the 17th parak of Kalim, please.
No,
I don't know. But
no, sorry.
Anyway, So what does it mean, kol klei balei batim shiurim karimonim? It means that if I have a kli that develops a hole in it, so when does the kli no longer kli? The kli is no longer kli when, let's say, it's no longer usable, and let's say I might throw it out. So balei batim, you know, who are on tighter budget, so they make them more creative in their use, so it has to be motzi rimon in order to be possible. Use it as a fruit basket if it's not kimotzi rimon, I guess. Rimon's pretty big. I don't know if their rimonim were a little bit smaller, but our rimonim are pretty big. Although, again, you can't bring rice from the Costco rimonim. But I think even the regular store rimonim, you know, Chaim, that even the things you buy there, it's not just you get more of them, they're bigger. Yes. It's very hard to understand why, but that seems to be what it is. So anyway, but a rimon, rimon's not a small thing. That's a big hole. You know, normally we used to think of kones mashka, motzi mashka. It depends, I think, also what it's used for. But for but this must be used for salads.
If you used it to hold olives, then it gets a hole of the size of an olive.
Go ahead. All right. Eretz ze shemen. Okay, and as we pointed out, I'll mention this again from earlier in the year. Firstly, for the Balei Kriya, remember it's Eretz, it's counterintuitive. It's Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash. The Merach is on Zeis and Eretz is Mukach to it. Not the way we would have done it. We would have done it Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash. I don't know why. Secondly, olives are not mentioned. Oil is not mentioned in the Pasuk. Olives are mentioned. It's oil olives, not olive oil. And the great irony, of course, is that oil and wine are treated as the real thing, even though the Pasuk says Geffen and Zeis Shemen, whereas honey is treated as not the real thing, even though the Pasuk says Dvash. Okay, go figure. In other words, all dinim, generally speaking, Yayin and Shemen have the din of the pri itself, for Bikurim, for Truma, for Bracha, for everything, whereas, and yet the Torah doesn't actually say Yayin, it does say elsewhere, Tirosh V'Yitzah, but in the Pasuk of Shemes Aminim, it says Geffen and Zeis Shemen, not Shemen Zayis, whereas with respect to honey, so it's the only thing it's referred to as Dvash. You know, say?
Well, the fact that they would actually, that the wine and the oil itself would be considered to be the main thing would make sense. And that the other thing that keep. You deal with a world that doesn't have refrigeration.
Honey keeps.
What?
Honey keeps.
No, I mean, as opposed to, what I'm saying, as opposed to grape and.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying. I'm just pointing out that in terms of the discussion of Mashka, it's kind of funny, you know, that the Chachamim, which is why I'm convinced that it's really a question of Metzias, not a question of Xeris HaKasim. Anyway. Okay, continue.
Amar Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina. Eretz shekol shireh hakezezin.
Okay, Eretz shekol shireh hakezezin, the Gemara says.
Kol shireh salkadaitach v'ha ikah hanach de'amran. Ela Eretz shirov shireh hakezezin.
Fine. So the Gemara has it basically, this is obviously the stem of the Gemara's interruption of, you can always get the special effects from Ben. The Gemara interrupts the flow of the Amora's statement with commentary. It's not. I don't know how often you see it like this, because you normally don't get such extensive Amora quotations. It happens all the time in Brises, where you get these long Brises that the Gemara is busy commenting on in the middle, and it interrupts it, and then it resumes. My favorite example of this that people sometimes miss is the Sidron Shel Neviim in Bava Basra. So in Sidron Shel Neviim, you know, the Sidron Shel Neviim and Mik Savan is all part of one long brisa. Rashi even notes this, but it's interrupted by the whole discussion of why did they put Yeshaya after Heskel, but it's all one long brisa. So you have this. Okay, so finally, Eretz Sherosh Yerek Hazesim. Okay.
Dvash, Kakotevet Hagasa V'Yom HaKippurim.
Fine. That's the shear for Achila on Yom Kippur. And now that what it has, so that's Rav Chanan disagrees with Rav Yosef. And now V'idach, the Gemara says, what would Rav Yosef say? How is he going to learn the shiurim? After, how can he use the pasuk to teach you that kolam muktam a pasuk muktam lebracha? After all, you needed to teach you the shiurim. V'idach, what is he going to do? So hani shiurim.
V'hedya miktiv, hey?
They're not explicit.
Midi rabbanan v'kras makta v'yama.
Okay, it's interesting that he calls it the Rabbanan. The Rambam, the Gemara usually says that she, the Gemara in the parallel sugyas, and we're not doing this sugya now, so I said everything I'm going to say. It. In the parallel sugyas, the Gemara actually says that shiurin chatzitzin umachitzin halacha lemoshe misinai. This sugya, I believe, appears at least two other places, in Erevin and in Sukkah. So it's not our issue right now. It's funny the Gemara here calls it Rabbanan mikras machta bialma. Very interesting. Okay, but again, it's tremendously important in terms of, I'll call it rabbinic thought or whatever, how they looked at certain things, but not our issue for the moment. Okay, fine. Now, well, let's close with one last story. Okay? Yeah. A story and a question. And if you've seen the Rishon already, you know what the question I'm going to ask is. Go ahead, read the story quickly.
Shako Rav Hivnuna Bricha Tamre Beresha. Amar Le Rav Chisda. Lo Tzir Le Mar. Lahad Amar Rav Yosef. V'itema Rav Yitzhak. Kol Amukdam V'pasuk. Zekodem Levracha.
So what is, so basically you should have made a bracha on the Rimon first,
the Tamre.
Right? Because the Tamarim are position 7 and the Rimonim are
position
5.
Amar lei ze sheni laretz veze chamishi laretz.
Okay, fine. So it's how close you are to aretz. Amar lei. That's the point. That's his answer. So amar lei.
Amar lei man yahiv lan nagre de farzala v'nishmeina.
Okay. The way Rashi says v'nishmeinach v'nisham sheich v'neilech acharach hatamid. We should, God should only give us
bolts,
strong legs of iron. So we should v'nishmeinach. Rashi obviously understands v'nishmeinach doesn't mean to hear you, but rather it means to serve you, by which means you get to hear. How does the word v'nishmeinach mean to serve you? No, I understand. That's how. That's the content. What?
The kabel to make you be heard by us.
No. What is the word in the Bavli for one shamish? Amar le rav le. The shamei. I don't know what the etymology of the term is, but the person shamish in Bavli Aramaic is shamei. So v'nishma inach. What? Shin memayin. V'nishma inach. Rashi says to be mishamshich. Yeah, that's all it means. Now, I leave you with one question, and we'll stop with this, and I'll take your questions, which is, what was Rav Chisda thinking? Why did Raham Nuna make a bracha on the Rimoni first? What would you have answered? Yeah, because I like Rimoni better. You got a problem with that? That's what I would have answered. And this is the issue. This is the issue that obviously is going to create some problems for certain Rishonim in terms of Psak Halacha. Okay, so that's the. We'll continue talking about this tomorrow. My recommendation for what we're going to look at in terms of Rishonim very briefly is I think I'm going to limit us to go through the Rif, the Tosfos, and maybe the Rush. Okay, so if you haven't, if you've read them already, do the Rashba. You can look at the Ritva, but in terms of time, I don't want to spend more than tomorrow on this. I want to go through them and sort of be finished, and then we'll prepare to move on. Okay. All right. I'm happy to take any questions now. Although I want to really end at 1:00, I do need to.